Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Years ago, on a clear June day, a moment of tragedy touched a town in a way that no one could have expected. But here in Smyrna, Tennessee, something extraordinary began. Not just a moment of stone and steel, but a living, breathing legacy shaped by a community that chose to come together like family.
It's hard to believe it's been a decade since June 2nd, 2016. The Blue Angels aren't stationed here, they don't live here, but they are so much a part of the fabric of our community. Many of us that have grown up here remember them flying in the 70s. You'll see people up on rooftops and you'll see them on playgrounds and in their backyards. There's something about hearing that roar of those engines that we all get excited, and I think it brings out the kid in all of us.
So the town of Smyrna, Tennessee, that's the voice of Mary Esther Reed, the mayor, has put out a 10-year anniversary video talking about Captain Jeff Koos. Of course, it was 10 years ago today that his Blue Angels jet number 6 crashed in Smyrna. And he passed away in that crash, and we all know. Well, we don't all know. I suppose, you know, it's been 10 years. There may be a lot of you, perhaps, who have moved here since then or were not here at the time. And for you, it may not matter much or mean much because you didn't experience it. But for those of us who did live here, and, you know, in my particular case, you know, we got the news kind of broke in the middle of the afternoon that there had been a crash. We didn't really know too much beyond that. And, you know, my boss said we didn't have a live afternoon show at the time. My boss said, Andrew, you need to come into work and you need to, you know, cover this breaking news. And I did. And I knew a lot more than I was saying on the air because that's often the case. But, you know, the Navy has a policy of not disclosing a lot of information and not disclosing names for 24 hours if there has been a fatality. And so I had just flown with him at the homecoming air show. So he was, to me, 7 because he was the narrator at the time. The narrator is the one that does the media flights. So I had gotten to know Jeff and his wife a little bit, you know. I mean, didn't know her all that well, but she, you know, she seemed great. They always seemed great. And, you know, got to know them, and he gave me the best, one of the best days of my life. And we'll talk about that maybe later on in the show. And then, you know, I come into work and I know what's happened because, you know, I have a lot of sources, and yet officially we're not saying anything. So I'm doing a radio show talking about the death of somebody who, you know, I don't want to pretend he was a close friend or anything, but I knew Cooch relatively well. I mean, he gave me 40 minutes of F-18 time, like, you know, a guy, right? And I'm having a talk on the radio about how this tragedy that I can't really talk about has happened. And I tell you, that was the, of all the days I've ever done radio, that was definitely one of the worst ones. But I appreciate, you know, of course, Smyrna comes together and they raise a bunch of money and they create this memorial that is built around the jet that they got. And I got to be friends with Mary Esther Reed through this. And my stepdad lived in Murfreesboro at the time. That's an adjoining city. It's a little bit larger city in the area right outside of Nashville. And so, you know, and of course I gave to the project, and I think there's a brick somewhere up there in Smyrna I've seen it that has my name, you know, like it's meaningful. And then all the things thereafter, having the candlelight memorial service down at Veterans Memorial Park and all of that. But this 10-year anniversary video is really, it's something. It's really quite well done. I'll share it on our Facebook page. You can watch it for yourself.
June 2nd, 2016 was a tragedy here in the town of Smyrna. We were devastated. We were individually devastated, and we were devastated as a community. And one of the first things that happened, just like any family, when there is a death in the family, they want to gather together. And so that's why we had the gathering at Lee Victory Recreation Park on that night for a candlelight vigil. And hundreds of people turned out to be together and to mourn someone that we felt was part of the community. Many of the people there that night didn't even know Jeff's name at that point. But they wanted to honor a hero.
And yeah, I mean, if it was the same day, wouldn't have. And, you know, certainly, I mean, when we saw this here in Pensacola, there was a ton of people down at the Veterans Memorial Park.
On June 9th, the community started coming to us as a council and saying, we want to see something done. We want to honor the military. We want to honor the Blue Angels. We want to honor Captain Jeff Koos. So we put out on Facebook, what do you want us to do? And initially it was a small sculpture that was going to be about $15,000. And the community said, no, that's not what we want. We want to see a plane. We formed a committee, and we started meeting. We had no idea how to obtain a Blue Angel plane. We decided we'd still try. On September 8th, 2016, we got word that we had a plane. We had a plane coming here to our town to be put into a memorial.
That is an amazing timeline when you think about it. That, what, 3 months later, they knew they had a jet that was going to be available, a Blue Angels jet. And, I mean, just think about, like, the city of Milton right now is dealing with the transition from the training plane that is out in front of the high school to a, you know, TH-47, a retired Sea Ranger from Whiting. And, I mean, we've had, what, at least 6 months already of discussions over this, maybe a little bit longer, you know. And, I mean, nothing's done yet. Like, theoretically, the town owns the plane or owns the jet or owns the helicopter. But, I mean, that's all the closer we are to anything at this point. And in 3 months, they had a jet promised, and then they were into fundraising for it. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
What started as a moment of shared heartbreak has grown into something much bigger, a testament of Smyrna's unwavering spirit. In Smyrna, we show up for each other. We didn't just offer condolences to the Koos family. We adopted them.
That's Amber Hobbs, the town clerk, Mary Esther Reed again.
We knew we had to fundraise. We knew our community and this region would be behind this memorial, and nobody disappointed. I will tell you, there was not one individual that turned us down. Everybody said yes. From our very top donor to, I remember a little boy riding up on his bicycle, and he took change out of his pocket and he dropped it in the bucket. And he said, I want to help build that memorial.
Yeah. And then what I was not expecting is I thought the video, as a history primarily of the event and of, I mean, more so just of the memorial and the plane, I wasn't really expecting this, but they got interviews or participation from not only Christina Koos, but from his mom, Janet. And I don't think I have ever met her. I don't think I've ever talked to her. I don't think I've ever seen an interview with her. So hearing from her was just a special moment in this video.
When I close my eyes and think of Jeffrey, I can picture his little cherub face and a smile. Always smiled. Always laughing and smiling. The Thunderbirds came to Durango when he was probably 7 or 8, and that really resonated with him. But otherwise, his chubby little hands had airplanes in them all the time.
I love a mom's memory of a kid, you know? I don't know about you if you have kids. I'm sure it's true, but I know for me, you know, a lot of times I look at, you know, I got a 22-year-old and I look at him and think, but that's not how I think of you, you know? I think of you as this little kid, you know, and some of the best photos or videos you have of them as the little kid and some of the stuff they did, that's how you think of them. And, you know, here we're talking about a grown man, Marine pilot, captain, and, you know, what does she think of? A little kid who was thrilled by watching the Air Force Thunderbirds fly over Durango, Colorado, his hometown, and playing with the, you know, jet aircraft in his chubby little fingers.
Jeff wanted to fly since he was a toddler. He had to get a senator to approve him to go into the Marine Corps. And he wrote letters and called and got no response. And so he found out that the senator, Ken Salazar, was here in Durango speaking at the Doubletree. And so he went out to his truck and the truck wouldn't start. So then he got on his bicycle, and by the time he got there, the speech was over and Salazar was going out the back door. And he ran around the back, jumped ahead of some people and put out his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Jeff Koos and I want to be a Marine." And then he kept calling and calling and calling, and finally the office called him back and said, "Okay, we'll give you a letter of recommendation, but you cannot call our office anymore."
I love that. Like, fine, leave us alone. We'll give you the letter. It's fine. Cool. And then his wife, Christina, or his widow, Christina, talking about him again on this 10-year anniversary video that Smyrna put out.
He wanted people to understand how important it was to serve. Jeff had a speech that he wrote, and he would share at high schools around the country. I remember at the very end of that, he said, "And remember to be kind."
Remember to be kind. And what it's meant to her and what it meant at the time to her and since, not only the Port of Pensacola, of course, in the Blue Angels community, but of Smyrna particularly.
Through navigating life without Jeff the last 10 years, it feels like one of the deepest sources of strength and consistency in community and never feeling forgotten.
And that basically helped her get through it, you know, that not, and again, not just Pensacola. I want to give credit to Smyrna has really, you know, been a great source of just affirmation and encouragement and support to them over the years.
And Smyrna helped us so much to realize that we weren't alone and that we were going to make it through. And my tears are not tears of grief or loss anymore. It's just deep love and gratitude. And I really do feel like Jeff lives through your town.
And his mom said the same thing.
I wish everybody could have met him. And you've done such a good job. I feel like you know him. And I'm so happy that his legacy will live on in Smyrna.
And one of the things, and I was watching this video, I've been back past that jet up in Smyrna several times, you know, loads of times. A dozen times probably. And the park that it's by is great. It's integrated into the park. So it's not just, you know, a lot of times the Blue Angels jets are kind of placed in a situation where you see them, but they're not interactive in any way. It's got a whole plaza around it. And they even do, because I saw some of the video, they do like small events there and memorial services there because there's like benches around underneath it. It's just, it's really well done. But, you know, integrated into the community and a lasting tribute, essentially, to not just him, but to all who serve, all who risk and give their life, the Blue Angels, the Navy, you know, all the branches. It's quite a wonderful thing if you have a chance to see it. Now, I didn't want to end with and didn't want to end without playing some of Jeff himself. Now, this is a clip that you have probably, if you've paid attention to any of the media coverage of Captain Koos over the years, you've certainly heard this one. It's really a cool clip from him in a kind of a promotional Blue Angels video.
I wanted to fly the fastest, meanest thing I could, and that's why I'm here today, is because I was fortunate enough to get to fly the F-18 Hornet.
But, of course, to me, like I said, as he's not number six, to me, he's always number seven. So this is him calling maneuvers during the Air Force home, or, good Lord, during the air show for homecoming back in 2016. So this was the air show in which I happened to have a chance to, is this homecoming? I'm trying to think now. I could be wrong about this, but this might have been from the summer show, the beach show. Anyway.
Aircraft pilots and enthusiasts who appreciate the difficulties associated with carrier aviation will enjoy this next maneuver demonstrated by the two solo pilots. To the right, Lieutenant Commander Tedrow and Lieutenant Chamberlain will establish a mirror image formation. But look closely, for both aircraft are in the carrier landing configuration as they approach for a maneuver we call the Fortis.
So that's how you might have known him if you were in the crowd. And that was at homecoming, I remember, kind of getting my timeline all correct. But of course, the way that I remember him was from inside the jet.
You've seen the demo before, right? Of flight demonstration, yeah, a bunch. Okay, so when number four takes off, he slides right underneath and they make that diamond go up, three-quarter loop, come back down, and then do a full loop after that. So we're going to do that now. We'll replicate the diamond half squirrel cage. So there'll be a little G, not as much as we pulled right now, just three and a half. So you're going to squeeze your legs when you feel that pressure. Push it back. Ready to rock?
Sure.
All right. You can hold on to those handles back there to help you feel kind of in control and just pretend like you're driving the jet around. That'll help your stomach and your inner ear stay all on the same page. Here we go. Up we go. There's vertical. Cool view over your right shoulder there, looking at the beach.
Whoa.
Pure nose high. Over onto our back here. We're going to get a little light in our seat now.
Wow.
As we roll up right.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll come back down.
And at that point in the flight, he was being real nice to me because I had just thrown up. So, you know, doing, do you want to quit? No, no. I will pop. I'll be all right. You know, so anyway, he was fabulous, of course. And
Do you have the video?
Yeah.
Did you post it online?
Oh, yeah.
When?
10 years ago.
Ten and a half
years ago.
Why don't you post it again? That way we can make memes and stuff. And
all right, we'll see. Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway, so I just want to say thank you to the Blue Angels. Thank you to the Navy. Thank you to Jeff Koos, his family. Thank you to Smyrna for honoring him so much in the event and afterwards. And just a reminder that 10 years ago today, for this community, that's why, if you're relatively new here, even in the last 5 years, and you see people driving around with those little yellow sixes on their car that you maybe recognize, it looks Blue Angels, I'm not quite sure. That's what that's for, is people who live through this and remember it with great pain and also, you know, great fondness. And it was a tremendous moment in Pensacola history. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Silly old bear.
Let's do it.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you ever listen to me talking about companies, you'll notice a theme. Theme is I try to go with folks that have been around for a while, have a good track record, do customer service the right way, treat you well, make you want to come back because they treat you so well. That's Frontier Motors in a nutshell. 29 years helping people not hate buying a car. I mean, basically, I don't want to promise that they're going to make you like it. Like, you're going to want to go do it. All I know is that buying a car for most people, unless I'm just super weird and everybody else is super weird. I know John's weird. He likes it. But, you know, everybody else pretty much hates this process. The looking, the shopping, the comparing, the trying to remember what you did and didn't like about everyone, the safety, all the just doing it all and then figuring out the money of it. And then feeling like, you know, when you go to deal with the car salesman, God bless your butt, you know? So, and then at Frontier, it's just different. It's just easier. It's simple, you know? Go drive some cars, look at some cars, get the out-the-door price. You know, if you need to haggle a little bit, that's fine. You can sneeze during the interview. It's fine. No, and then you get a good quality used car. You know, cars that are a year, two, three, four, maybe at most, you know, a couple, 10 to 30,000 miles. They warranty everything to 100 or 10 years. And they just take care of you in a way that makes you want to come back. So Frontier Motors is right there behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. What else do we have going on today? Man, Palafox is back open. Woohoo. That's exciting news. You know, we're I think the mayor is probably right. If no businesses went out, businesses may have suffered some. I'm going to be curious to see, you know, how they self-report. If they had to, you know, if they had lower profits or had to shutter, you know, basically cut down on hours or something like that. But it was the predictions of what was going to happen were pretty dire from some folks. And that's understandable. I mean, it's a big impact, right? But now we're back. It's open. It's beautiful. And, you know, hopefully all is good. The one point... The reporting on this, the Trump so-called anti-weaponization fund or whatever, you know the dollar amount here is $1,776,000,000. So it's the 1776 fund in the 250th anniversary. Like, that's what it's meant to be. And remember, this was the Trump administration negotiating with the Trump administration to not have to pay $10 billion, but instead to pay just, you know, $1.8 to the people who have been targeted by the Biden administration. Well, now... basically, judges said, whoa, 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 whoa. And even the administration is like, yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to keep going with this because everybody thinks this is a crazy plan. Too much money and not enough oversight.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Primary Tuesday for six states, including New Jersey, where the polls are open, and in California.
California's governor's race candidates include Democrats Javier Becerra and Tom Steyer, and Republican Steve Hilton. All candidates there appear on a single ballot. The top two finishers, regardless of the party, move on to the November general election. And Los Angeles' mayoral race is heating up between Spencer Pratt, Nithya Raman, and Karen Bass. It's a tight race.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan. In that mayor's race, if one of the candidates receives more than 50% of the vote, they win the race outright, and there's no runoff in November. President Trump isn't buying a claim by Iranian state media that Tehran suspended talks with the U.S., telling ABC News a potential deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and extend a ceasefire could happen over the next week. Gas dropping overnight, now down 20 cents since last Tuesday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 70 degrees. We've got cloudy skies, and we'll get a look at our forecast with Channel 3 in just a few minutes. A Pensacola law firm is taking on social media giants over what it's calling a public health crisis targeting children. Levin Papantonio held a town hall last night for parents, discussing how platforms use addictive design features to keep kids hooked. Attorney Mike Papantonio telling Channel 3 that the stakes really couldn't be higher.
What people have to be aware of is that this draws into an addiction. They have to be aware of the fact this is not a minor problem. The algorithms that have been written have been designed in such a way to maximize time on that screen.
And Papantonio says the litigation against social media companies mirrors past cases against tobacco and opioid manufacturers. The firm is pushing to hold platforms legally responsible for knowingly using addiction science to keep children engaged. Palafox Street in downtown Pensacola is open to cars again for the first time in about 6 months. The $10.7 million rebuild on the road features wider sidewalks, raised crosswalks that double as speed bumps, and decorative circles at intersections designed to slow traffic. The street lost 19 parking spaces during the redesign, but does have 60 total, including 9 ADA spaces. Downtown parking also remains free until October 1st. There is some construction still ongoing on side streets. Now, property taxes may not completely go away. State lawmakers yesterday proposed requiring homeowners to pay property taxes that are used to fund schools. Funds that support some local offices would also be exempt from the ban. Republican State Senator Jay Trumbull says it's a question of how much stress the system could take at one time if property taxes were completely eliminated. They could vote on that proposal as soon as today. Now, Florida's the plaintiff in a big lawsuit. Attorney General James Uthmeyer said yesterday he is suing OpenAI and CEO Sam Altman. Uthmeyer claims the company knowingly released and aggressively marketed ChatGPT to the public, including children, while concealing serious risks. In the civil complaint, OpenAI is accused of deploying a product that facilitates and encourages harm, including self-harm and violence, while falsely assuring users that it was safe. Uthmeyer says OpenAI allowed a dangerous product to reach millions of Floridians. Florida's the first state to sue OpenAI. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We will have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, especially this afternoon. High near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies. High near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies. High near 82. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Cloudy skies right now. We've got 70 degrees across the area. Your next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of French biotech company Abivax tumbled 32% after it reported fresh data on its lead asset, a drug for ulcerative colitis, that showed a potential cancer risk in patients. The medicine met its endpoints by demonstrating a clinically meaningful remission rate of about 40% for both doses tested, but also showed there were cancer cases among patients taking the higher dose. Alphabet said it plans to sell $80 billion in stock, including through a $10 billion investment in Berkshire Hathaway. Google's parent said the capital will fund investments in its world-class AI compute infrastructure to meet its unprecedented customer demand. Amazon's annual Prime Day event has been scheduled for June 23rd through June 26th. The four-day shopping fest comes after U.S. consumer sentiment dropped in May to a record low. More shoppers have been turning to Prime Day and other discount events to stock up on groceries and household essentials. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 5:37, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us this morning. And yesterday, had a good chance to talk with our friend, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, about a variety of things, including his view of the proposed decriminalization or legalization of machine guns for civilian use. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, I've read online several accounts of we had a paddleboarder. So there was a search for this paddleboarder who was missing, concerned that maybe that person had been struck by lightning. This was going on overnight and into the morning. What can you tell us?
Yeah, FWC actually took the case over since it actually occurred on a waterway. But, apparently the father was with them at the time, and several people, I believe, saw him get hit by lightning and then go into the water. And, you know, which is a terrible thing, especially right in front of the dad. I can't even imagine what he's going through right now. But and then later on, I do believe FWC did recover the body. And, thoughts and prayers with that family. God help them. That's such a tragedy. But, you know, Florida has the most lightning strikes of any state in America. And it, unfortunately, it happens more than it should. But you get out on that water and a storm creeps up on you, you got to try to find cover as fast as you can.
Oh, man. I'm like you. I can only imagine what that family's going through. And, you know, as people who do paddle boarding and, you know, small boating and stuff, it's, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, especially because you're slow moving, you get caught somewhere, it's hard to find shelter or you're too far. I mean, yeah. This was on Blackwater somewhere?
Yeah, and it was right by the Navy place, you know, where you rent kayaks and stuff. I think they call it MWR.
Oh, okay.
And I think several people actually saw it. And the bad part is, you know, when he got hit by lightning, I think everybody knew the outcome. They just wanted to obviously recover the body, but it's just a horrific event.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, you know, like you said, I know NAS Wedding Field had put a post up about it, and so, you know, a lot of local concern, especially in that area. So, man, again, like you say, prayers for the family as well. We also had an incident with a Pace man. I think this was last Sunday, so before you and I would have talked, but still came out afterwards. He became aggressive and made physical contact with emergency personnel during a call for service in Pace.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, this happens a lot. Usually when EMS and fire and law enforcement get called to a scene, you know, for a medical call or whatever, tensions are high, especially family members, you know, if they don't think they're, you know, fire and EMS is doing enough for their loved one or whatever, they get pretty vocal and sometimes pretty violent. And that's when we step in. That's why usually on medical runs, most medical runs where a lot of family is there, they always call for us as well. Kind of crowd control kind of thing. But it happens more than you would suspect. And the scary part is, you know, fire and EMS, they're trying to help. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think they're doing enough, they're still there trying to do what they do. And they know more about medical stuff than the average person does. So the main thing I could say to citizens is, I know, it, you know, when they get called, it's usually a horrific event, but let them do their job. And, you know, try to calm down as best as possible so we don't have to get involved.
Yeah, it's stressful. It's scary. You obviously are very concerned about your loved one or if it's yourself, you know, whatever's going on. And I'm with you. I'm sure that the incidents are, you know, more than we probably hear about, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to get your reaction to something that Jimmy Patronis told us last week. He filed a bill. I'm not sure if you'd heard about this, but he filed a bill that would legalize machine guns, essentially undoing some of the rules in the 1986 Gun Safety Act, the one that essentially said that pre-86, those were the only ones, and that after that, you know, nothing could be manufactured or sold to the private citizen. Of course, there's some exceptions based on federal licensing, but this would allow anybody to have an AR-15 fully automatic, an AK-47, a M249, a Uzi, you know, whatever. And, you know, you're law enforcement. You're tasked with dealing with the bad guys and also the good guys when they make mistakes. You have an opinion?
Yeah, and, you know, everybody knows I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I mean, somebody breaks in your house, you saw my press conference, shoot them. Hey, we'll deal with it later. My thing is this, and after 20 years on SWAT, and also I was in the military, I fired fully automatic M4s, fully automatic MP5s, and I can tell you this, there's very little need for that in a civilian environment. Now, obviously, in the military world, you got to have them. You got to have the saws and all the different M60s and everything else that, you know, keeps suppressive fire. You definitely need that in the military. In a civilian environment, I can't think of a need for it. I mean, even in a SWAT environment, we've never, ever in Santa Rosa County SWAT fired on a person with fully automatic. Number one, it's not as accurate. Number two, that's more bullets you have to account for, because once the bullet leaves the gun, it's going to go wherever. So I just don't see the need for somebody owning an M60 or a saw or anything like that that's fully automatic. I mean, but you know, it is what it is. I don't know that it will pass, but if it does, obviously, you know, we go by the laws and, you know, people can get machine guns in.
We've had this kind of conversation. I've talked, I think, more about it with Chip, maybe Chip Simmons, but like the Glock switches that allow a handgun to be fully automatic, which if I'm fighting against a criminal and I've got my semi-automatic Glock and he's got a Glock switch, I'm actually happier about that because he's going to rattle off his rounds. He's going to miss me 20 times instead of missing me twice. And, you know, it's going to go all over the place. I tend to prefer that because, like you said, accuracy. But from a law enforcement perspective, I wanted to ask you, will this, if this becomes legal, does this present additional challenges for you as law enforcement? Because, you know, you guys went to semi-automatics when the criminals went to semi-automatics. You guys have gone to rifles because the criminals have gone to rifles. Would you guys feel more of a need to go to that, even though, as you say, accuracy and cartridges and everything else are a problem? Would that be a problem for you?
Well, obviously, it'd be a problem because, you know, criminals would have the spray and pray mentality. They don't care where the bullet goes. They don't have to really answer for it other than the fact that we're going to kill them or they're going to prison. And, you know, that's the only two outcomes they have. Whereas when we open fire, we have to account for every bullet, and cops being cops. I mean, we don't get in the job to kill people. We get in the job to help people. So the last thing a cop wants to do is spray and pray and, oops, I'm sorry, I hit that 4-year-old. But, you know, that's the dirtbag mentality. They don't care what happens. So if we flood the country with machine guns, obviously criminals are going to get a hold of them. And then we have to deal with the criminals. So I would say this, if this passes and everybody gets machine guns and everything, are we going to go to them? Probably not, because we still put emphasis on shot placement, not quantity of shots. So if, like you said, if he's over there spraying and praying with an M4 and we got a guy behind a tree that can take a headshot with one bullet, that's what's going to happen. I mean, hey. Sorry for your loss, but I don't see us carrying fully automatics. Now, SWAT does have fully automatic M4s. Not everybody has them, but certain people on the team have them for suppressive fire when, you know, we're trying to approach a building and we know there's only criminals in the building or something that may need suppressive fire. They have that option. But, you know, like I said, in the 20 years I was on the team, we never fired a fully automatic weapon at a human being, so...
Yeah, and, you know, having the ability and having a need to use it in any particular circumstance, different questions, right? Sheriff, as you know, the session for the House is in, you know, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. But there's been no bill filed for property taxes in the House. Now, the House could come in and they could take up the Senate bill, or they could just gavel in and gavel out. We could do a repeat of what was done a year and a half ago with the immigration stuff. I'm reluctant to ask you what you think is going to happen, but obviously you guys have had to think a lot about what would happen if property taxes changed, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we have like I think our budget's like 80, 81 million, and a big proportion of that comes from property taxes. So obviously if it passes, you know, we're going to have to rethink some things, and of course the county's going to have to rethink some things, but... Yeah. I don't know that it's going to pass. I've just heard so many different options and so many different things. I saw the one that the governor put out just recently, the most recent one, and, you know, going from 50,000 to 250,000 on homestead exemptions. So I don't know. I haven't spoken to the property appraiser or the tax collector to see what kind of damage that would do to our budget. But, you know, if it passes, it passes. It's something we'll have to deal with.
Right. And, you know, you're ultimately the one who has to follow the law and implement it and deal with it, not the one that gets to make it, sometimes, unfortunately. Hurricane season is today. We haven't talked much about this, but you have been you've been here since, what, 93? Is that right?
Right. I've been in Florida off and on since 76.
Okay.
Off and on, but actually living here. 1993, I experienced all the good hurricanes, Ivan, Opal, Aaron, Sally, all the ones. So I just tell everybody in Santa Rosa County, be prepared, you know, have your water and your different supplies, your flashlights, radios, that kind of thing. And, you know, if we say evacuate, evacuate. And a lot of people don't want to do that. But, you know, you get a category 4.5 is what I call it, was Ivan. And we went out on the beach and we're trying to get people to evacuate and they didn't want to evacuate. And we didn't force them. And then when the storm hit, we started getting calls of, hey, the water's rising. Can you come get us? And we're like, no, we can't. If the emergency management tells you to evacuate because of the flood zone you're in, just take heed to it. But hopefully we're going to have a quiet season. You never know, but hopefully it'll be quiet.
Do you have any thought about how to reach, because we've seen these very concerning reports that people under the age of 30, you know, they don't watch TV, they don't read the newspaper. I mean, they're probably all listening to me, but anyway, they don't listen to the radio. they get their, God help us, they get their news on TikTok. What are you guys doing, if anything, to try to reach that audience, particularly when it comes to, you know, emergency news, disaster news, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's very difficult. This new generation doesn't believe in watching television for news. So what we do, and the only thing we really do to try to reach them as best we can, is to put out stuff on TikTok, put out stuff on Facebook, and try to reach them. But, yeah, it's up to the family members. Like, you know, and I have a 30-year-old and a 35-year-old, and they don't watch the news. And I'm like, how do you not watch the news? And we don't care about it. And I'm like, oh, my God, it drives me crazy. So I have to be the responsible party, as usual, and tell them, hey, there's a hurricane coming or whatever. But, yeah, it's pretty frustrating that the newer generation, they don't believe in watching TV for news.
Well, we used to always tell people, check on your elderly neighbors. I think now we have to tell people, check on your young neighbors, too, because they might not know what's going on. Hey,
they have that. They have the adage, like I think it was Mark Twain said, if you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you do watch the news, you're misinformed.
Right. So. Yeah. Hey, last thing, and this is just a follow up because we talked about Star Wars the last time you were on and how you saw episode 4 in the theater the day it came out and you've never seen any other ones. But you and I talked a little bit afterwards because I was like, how does that happen? But in your case, it wasn't a deliberate resistance. It was just circumstance and timing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was overseas for growing up mostly, so I didn't get an opportunity to see it. And you're referring to it wrong. I watched episode 1 because it was the first one to come out. You can't have episode 4 as the first one. So that also led me to believe that, hey, if that was episode 4, I missed 1, 2, and 3. Why watch them? I know how it's going to end.
But like between your deployments and I think Japan and just the timing of it all just didn't work out. And then you're discovering after the fact that the trilogy isn't even the first trilogy. And, you know, I'm done. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I love it.
I saw the end. What's the point?
I saw the end. What's the point? Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time and keeping us safe and informed. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care. Today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Who loves you, baby? You're beautiful.
Good morning, 5:54, 5:55. It's Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew K. It's Pensacola Morning News. A couple of interesting military-related notes. The Pentagon has barred journalists from its press office because they say that the press folks in the Pentagon have access to and routinely handle classified documents, and they don't want any snooping commie reporters hanging. Well, that's not exactly what they said, but that's kind of the idea. Remember, the access to the Pentagon has changed dramatically over the course of this last year, where, you know, it used to be that reporters wandered around freely and then they had to be shepherded. They had to have passes. They had to agree not to report things that the Pentagon didn't have review over. I mean, and then a bunch of reporters walked out, and then, you know, they sued. New York Times has sued them now twice. They've won the first time, and they're, I think, probably going to win again. But, yeah, the relationship between the press and the Pentagon has not been great with Secretary Hegseth at the head. Also, the interesting note, the court has now put on hold, paused, not ended, but paused, the Trump administration's ban on transgender serving in the military. You still can't get in if you're transgender at the moment, but the effort to get them out, to expel anybody, to discharge anybody who's transgender, has been paused. And the argument here is actually kind of interesting. Basically, what the court said is, look, the Pentagon admits, the administration admits that there are, you know, a number. I mean, it's not that many. It's 4,000 or so folks diagnosed with gender dysphoria. That's not the same as, you know, actively experiencing it or whatever, but put that aside. Several thousand, okay, is the number we're talking about out of the entire military. And its argument is, look, you acknowledge that they have been serving for years, most of them. The folks who brought the suit have a collective, I think it was 130 years worth of service, the folks who were in the lawsuit. And you acknowledge that they've been great. You know, they've served with distinction and honor and no problems, more than 80 commendations for the plaintiffs. The Trump administration doesn't contest that they've served honorably and satisfied all military standards. And so the judge, Wilkins, was the person writing the opinion. It's a 2-to-1 split ruling. Robert Wilkins is the judge. And Wilkins says, this is not a case where we're left to speculate why the government drafted such broad, undifferentiated classifications. Unless we're going to fall for the old Groucho Marx line, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? We have direct evidence in this case that animus motivated the classifications in the Hegseth policy. That the policy does not classify whether persons are eligible to serve in the military in a reasonable and even-handed manner. It disqualifies from service any person who's been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, regardless of when they were diagnosed or if they currently suffer from it or with any relationship to their quality of service. And so the judge put it on pause. That's not the end of the story, as Pete Hegseth's response on Twitter was, or on Truth Social, I don't know where, it doesn't really matter, but, you know, see you at SCOTUS, as in see you at the Supreme Court of the United States. It was a 2-to-1 split decision. Judge Justin Walker said that the administration should be able to enforce the restrictions. Those are the two who wrote. But they're allowed to prohibit people from entering who are transgender. They're not allowed to kick people out at the moment. But again, all of this, I'm sure, is going to be reviewed probably by the Supreme Court. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Interesting notes about the tax thing yesterday. One is that the Senate actually came with amendments, which was kind of unexpected because historically the Senate has always been kind of the lapdog. Whatever DeSantis wants, the Senate gives him. And this time they came with amendments. So they pushed back, which was interesting. They cut the cut in half. They said no cut on the school side. So you will still, even if this passes, even if it gets off the floor and the whatever goes to the voters, and even if it passes in the fall, it will not have an impact on paying your school taxes. It will only affect your city and county taxes because, in part, the state was going to have to make up that difference because there are certain obligations for class size, for example, and, you know, putting a giant hole in the state budget was not going to be done. Putting a giant hole in the city and county budget, well, you know, fine, whatever. That's... So anyway, there was supposed to be some $5 million fund for advertising in the sense of sending out trim notices to people like, if this passes, here's what you'll save. That got nixed. There was a couple of other changes. Oh, remember the part about how you can only spend on certain things? A provision got added to that that basically said you can only spend on certain things, including anything you vote to spend it on. So that restriction is basically been defanged. But, interesting. We'll see what the House and the Senate do with it today.